Malachi chapter 1. There are four chapters. There are four Lord's days. And so what I will do is, in the will of God, read you a chapter each week and then tell you as much as I can about that chapter and its relation to the book as a whole, as time allows. So Malachi chapter 1. The message today is, forget not all his benefits. Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, but Esau I hated, and made his mountains a desolation, and gave his inheritance to the jackals of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are beaten down, but we will return and build the waste places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and men shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is mine honor? And if I am a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priests, that despise my name? And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind for sacrifice, it is no evil. And when you offer the lame and sick, it is no evil. Present it now unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or will he accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now, I pray you, entreat the favor of God, that he may be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he accept any of your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there were one among you that would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on mine altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye profane it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even its food, is contemptible. Ye say also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and you have brought that which was taken by violence, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye bring the offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, who hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a blemished thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is terrible among the Gentiles. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all the messages that you give us in the Word of God. Some reprove and rebuke, and some, Father, comfort, and some give hope. We are thankful for all that you say to us in the Word of God. And so let us accept from thy hand this burden that we have read by Malachi this morning. Our God, thou dost know that your Son said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And the word of the Lord endureth forever. And we are thankful that as it was potent when it first was given to the saints, that potency is still there today. And so by thy Spirit, may the power of the Word of God speak to our hearts and make us the men and women of God we should be. For all your goodness, we thank you, Father, and the strength that you have bestowed upon us up until now, and the strength that you shall bestow, we thank you. So look upon us for good and bless us. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You have chosen the book that I am to speak to you from this month. And it is a book of reproof, rebuke, long-suffering, and doctrine. And you could give another book speaking of consolation and hope and joy, but you have given a book that is full of rebukes, full of corrections. And therefore, if what I tell you follows those lines, it is only because you have chosen the book, and I trust that it is of God, from which to tell you God's message for us today. Cut off those backlights, please. If you look at the introduction, it says, the burden of the Lord of hosts to Israel by Malachi. It is a burden. A burden is something that is heavy. And consistently, when you read of a burden in the Bible, it is not something that gives hope, but it is a heavy message that comes from God. And this is what you've chosen. And what I tell you will be heavy because of this. What you have in Malachi is like unto what you have in the seventh church in the book of Revelation. You have Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. And in two of the churches, a little can be said of good, of encouragement. But when you come to the book of Laodicea, that church, nothing good is said. And God warns them, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the book of Malachi is like unto the church at Laodicea. In fact, you have certain conditions of the church throughout the Bible, and some of them in the Old Testament correspond to some in the New Testament. And that is what we have in the book of Malachi. Let me tell you a little bit about its background by conjecture, because we are given no dates. We are not told anything about Malachi. We are not told who the governor was. You look at the book and you say, well, just what is the time period when this book was delivered to Israel? You have to go about it this way. You look at it and you see that the temple is in existence. And so the temple has been rebuilt, but it is not at the first when the temple is rebuilt, because at the first there was rejoicing and there was encouragement and there was hope and there was cooperation, all of those things at the first. But now, about 100 years have passed, and all the zeal and joy that was present when God brought back the kingdom from captivity after 70 years, all of that has disappeared. And instead of alacrity to do the will of God, to worship God, instead of that, it has become a burden. What is so remarkable about the building of the temple after it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar is this, that even before the temple was built, they erected the altar so that sacrifices and praises to God could be offered up. But when you come to those same sacrifices and praises in the book of Malachi, there is no joy about it. There is no desire to offer them, but it is a burden. It is a labor. It is something that is despicable in their eyes. And you may not know, but it is your wisdom in choosing this book, because whereas we who gather to the name of the Lord at the very first, right back in 1830 and a little bit after that, there was zeal and there was devotion and there was worship and there was joy. But what happens is that after that, there began to be splits among those that had come out from denominationalism and had started gathering to the name of the Lord, divisions, and then there were controversies, and then there were heresies brought in, and then there was a going on, but they had left their first love. And what has happened is this. I have gone to assemblies, north and south. I've just come back from Canada. And the sad thing is this, that those that went to different assemblies said, you would not be happy going to this meeting. You would not be happy going to this meeting. Perhaps there could be some joy if you went to this meeting. A departure from the Lord. And some that had been going to one meeting had stopped going to that meeting and had finally gone to one meeting that had tried to remain devoted to the Lord and giving preeminence to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what has happened among the assemblies is this. They have forgotten how to worship God. Now think this morning. Think, you who were here at the remembrance meeting, if you were. Each Lord's Day when I come to the remembrance meeting, I say, Father, give me utterance. But at times, there is no opportunity. Now think, at the remembrance meeting this morning, what worship was given to God? What priest stood and offered unto Father spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ our Lord? You say, not one. Thanks was given for the loaf and for the bread, and praise God, we sang collectively, and the scriptures were opened. Thank God for that. But it says, through him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. And that was absent. And so that you wanted to read the scriptures and encourage the saints, that is good. But through him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips. God says this, each morning, the burnt offering, a lamb a year old, shall be offered with the meal offering. That shall be offered. And every evening, the burnt offering, the lamb without blemish a year old, it shall be offered to God. And God wanted that picture of the excellences of the person of Christ, all of it ascending to God. But what has happened is that we were here this morning. Thank God. We sang. We had the scriptures read. But the offering up the sacrifice of praise, somehow, that is missing today among the saints. But what is missing more is the denigration of the Lord's Supper. Some, instead of having the Lord's Supper, as we did this morning, an hour for God, Some go along, and at the end of a ministry service, they tack it on, and in a few minutes, they pass the bread and the cup, and that is the Lord's Supper. And some have relegated it to a time. They say, well, people are not going to come at this time, and so what we will do is to place the Lord's Supper at that time, and that is what they have done. And what is so sad is this, that Christians ever so long ago have said this, I do not come to the remembrance meeting because I get nothing out of it. You get nothing out of it. If the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ, if the exercise of the priesthood of all believers and the praises ascending to God from their lips gives you nothing, then you have been seared as with a hot iron. First of all, if you do not come when the Lord Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me, if there is the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, then something is wrong. And if when you come, there is not that exercise of the priesthood of the believers, that is what I used to boast about the people. What is the difference between you and a fundamental Baptist church or an evangelical church? The difference, I say, is this. We have an hour when we can come and worship God in spirit and in truth. There is the exercise of the priesthood of all believers. And in 1 Peter 2, we are a holy priesthood and we are a royal priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. And that is what the priesthood is. And as a functioning priesthood, if we come to the remembrance meeting, but as priests we do not speak to God, then something is missing from the remembrance meeting. First of all, what is happening? Then the remembrance meeting is denigrated. It is made of no importance. It is neglected. It is placed when any people that might want to come, they may come. Whereas, I remember when I went to England, thank God for this, they had a remembrance meeting and it lasted an hour and a half. And yes, there was the reading of the scripture, the singing of songs, but brother after brother would stand and praise God and worship God. And I can remember to this day, as a young man, some of the spiritual mountains in my life, the experiences, were when old men of God, those that had, it says, the hoary crown, those that were old and gray-headed, they would stand to their feet and worship God from their hearts. And it was so wonderful that when they finished, there was silence in the meeting. Not a silence of death, but a silence of awe and reverence, because a priest had offered up the excellences of Jesus Christ to God the Father. And so if you tell me about Christ, thank God, ministry to the saints, that is scriptural. But God says, let me hear thy voice. We are to worship him. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 14, through 12 through 14 is about the tongues. It says, what is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. The tongues were always directed toward God, and they were miraculously imparted by God. If a man spoke in a tongue by the Holy Spirit of God, what he said was glorifying to God. It says, he that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. You say, well then, he speaks unto God. What has that to do with us? It says this, that how, when one gives thanks, can he that is unlearned say, Amen, at thy giving of thanks? And they are listening as thanks is given, and their hearts rejoice, and they are in agreement with what you say, and they say, Amen. But if what you say is not relevant, and if what you say is not edifying, then how can the brethren say, Amen? And so what had happened at this period in the history of the Old Testament people of God was this. that they had rejoiced when God in his goodness had brought them back and had empowered them to begin building the temple and had enabled them to complete the temple. And in 516, that temple was completed, and not only the altar, but they could go through all of the religious services in the tabernacle, in the temple. And that went on for years and years and years. But now, over 100 years has passed, and now the same services are going on. But look at the services when they first came back and the temple was completed, and they were shouting for joy. And the only drawback was this. The old saints of God who were there, who remembered Solomon's temple, were weeping when they saw that poor replacement of Solomon's temple. But the young people did not know, and they were praising God. They had a temple, and they were able to worship God. They were able to have the priests to carry out the service of God. And that was the joy at the first. But little by little, all of that joy had departed. And now, what was a joy had become a duty. And what was a duty had become a burden. And so this is how the Lord's Supper, because the Lord's Supper now is like that service in the temple of old. They said, what a weariness is it? You say, how can you say that sacrifices in the old is like the Lord's Supper in the new? Because when they offered up the lambs and the bullocks in the Old Testament, that is worshiping God. And what we do in the New Testament, according to Hebrews 13, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Notice, the sacrifice, they offered literal sacrifices in the Old Testament. God understood them. God interpreted the lamb without spot and blemish that was being offered and the fragrance that ascended to him. God interpreted it. But now you are to have discernment. And you are to interpret all the spiritual significance of that physical lamb that was offered in the Old Testament. And we are to offer up spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips. It is our comprehension of what it all means. And we tell God what it means. Father, your son, the lamb, the clean animal, without spot, without blemish, a year old, in his youth, in his strength, in his vigor, all of him given unto you upon the altar. Did we not hear this morning, Father, glorify thy name. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. This is what God wants to hear. He wants to hear the excellences of his son. And therefore, the Old Testament sacrifices literally are now replaced by the fruit of our lips, the sacrifice of praise. Please notice, the sacrifice of praise. God is able to interpret every Old Testament type, but when you understand it, then, having told it to me, yes, tell it to God. He wants to hear it. Offer unto God the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, and this will rejoice the heart of God. So what had happened is this. It had started out well and they wanted to worship God, but it had deteriorated and they were still carrying on that worship. But if you had looked at them at the first when they were worshiping God and were looking at them at this time in the days of Malachi when they were worshiping God, you would have wept like the old men wept when they looked at that temple that had replaced Solomon's temple. And so thank God, it still goes on. And let me tell you this, what is so sad and what is so depressing about this book of Malachi is this, is that when he says, now, I want you to repent, I want you to be restored, I want you to be reconciled to me, what God says is this, he said, if you wanted to be, if you wanted to be restored to me, he said, there's nobody among you that could bring it to pass because your prayers are ineffectual. Here are the priests, and they were the ones who prayed and interceded for the children of Israel. And God said, now, where is one of these priests that is spiritual enough to have any influence on me and my restoration of your departing souls from God? Where is one? And so God says, yes, go ahead and pray. Try to be reconciled to me. He said, will I accept you? God said, I will not accept you. Why? Because the Lord knows those who are able to intercede. Thank God. The Lord Jesus ever lives to make intercession for the saints. But God said this. He said, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, saith the Lord, my mind would not be toward this people. Now, if there were a Moses present, perhaps they could be reconciled. If there were a Samuel present, perhaps they could be reconciled. But let me ask you this. Suppose you knew I was living in sin, that I was living a profligate life, and something was needed in your life. Your child was sick. Your wife was sick. Would you come and get me out of the gutter and say, I want you to pray to God for my child? You wouldn't look to me at all. Why? Because you say, you have no influence with God. Why, you need to be reconciled yourself. And so God says, now all of these priests that are carrying on the services, have them to come and pray for you, to intercede. He said, and see if I will accept you. He said, there is not a chance for you to be reconciled when they pray for you. Why? Because, he said, I have cursed the blessings that they have pronounced upon you. And so this is the sad thing. And what has happened is this, that at one time joy and when there was discernment, there has now become gloom and there has now become darkness. This has happened to the people of God. Thank God for this. The temple is still in existence and the services are going on. But even that, God says, oh, that there were one among you that would shut the doors that you might not kindle fire upon my altar in vain. How sad. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And God said, I wish there were a doorkeeper who would shut those doors and not let people come in and offer sacrifices, because those sacrifices are of no pleasure to me. And this is what God says at the beginning concerning these that were priests and the subjects in Malachi's day. Now, let me show you their obtuseness. Let me show you their ignorance, their insensitivity. God says to them at the very first, I have loved you, saith the Lord to Israel. I have loved you, saith the Lord of hosts. And the people hear him say that. They hear God say that, and they say, wherein hast thou loved us? God himself addresses Israel and says, I have loved you, saith the Lord of hosts. And the people hear the voice of God say, I have loved you. And they say, wherein have you loved us? That is obtuseness. That is insensitivity. That is having a heart seared as with a hot iron. And what is so sad is this. You will look at certain things that are spoken by God and the response made by these children of Israel in Malachi's day. And when God makes a positive statement, this is what they say. Wherein hast thou loved us? That's why I told you the message today was, forget not all his benefits. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy sins, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with joy and gladness, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Listen, forget not all his benefits, and thank God the psalmist is aware of the danger of his forgetting the benefits of God. But then he starts thinking about them and he says, who forgiveth all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowneth thee with joy and loving kindness, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Five things he remembers. He did not forget all God's benefits. And now God says, I have loved you, saith the Lord of hosts. And they say, wherein hast thou loved us? They're not able to think of one way in which God has loved them. This is deplorable. And the condition of all of those in the book of Malachi, there is ignorance, and there is arrogance, and there is insensitivity, and there is slovenliness. This is the condition of all of those living in Malachi's day. And these are the ones that he addresses, and he speaks to them again and again. And what is so sad is this, that every time God tells them something good, they say, what good thing have you done? Every time he tells them something bad, they say, how is it that you say that we are bad? They're unable to comprehend. They are ignorant and they are insensitive as to their spiritual condition. Their attitude is deplorable. And God says to them, would that someone would shut the doors that they might not kindle fire upon my altar in vain. God says, it is of no avail that you come and go through these things. And the Lord Jesus says this in John chapter 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For such doth the Lord seek to worship him. And so God is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. And here are those that are worshiping God. They are doing things somehow according to what God has said, but all of it is wrong for this reason. No less than 8 times does God make statements concerning them, positively and negatively. And every time, this is what they say. 6 times when God says something like this, I have loved you, saith the Lord of hosts. They say, wherein hast thou loved us? 6 times when God says, I have done this for you. They say, wherein have you done this? Wherein have we failed? 1 time they say, whatever, however, whosoever, and 1 time, what? And so 6 times, wherein, 1 time, how is that? Another time, what? Every time God says something to them that is positive, they have no understanding, they have no comprehension when God speaks to them. Now think of this. I'm thinking of Simon Peter. And he is the one that most of us criticize, and yet he is to be praised. When the Lord Jesus came to wash his feet, he said to him, he said, Lord, would you wash my feet? Now that is sensitivity. He is not to be criticized. He could see how incongruous it was for the Lord of glory to stoop down and wash his feet. He said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And the Lord said, what I do you do not understand now, but you shall understand later on. He said, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. Thank God for that. Thank God that he saw the holiness, the superiority of the Lord to such a degree that he said, you will never wash my feet. But then when the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. Peter, thank God, he had discernment, he had sensitivity, he had an understanding of what was right and what was wrong, and when the Lord Jesus would act in his behalf, would speak to him in his behalf, he would understand the significance of the words, he would understand the contradictory action that the Lord was taking, and he would say, this shall never be. But the Lord said, it must be, or you have no fellowship with me. He said, Lord, then do everything for me. And then the Lord had to explain all of those things for him. And so this is Simon Peter, the one that we criticize. But he had discernment. But those in Malachi's day did not have discernment. There was everything that was wrong with them. And this is what God is bringing to their attention. And I would ask this, if I had loved you even unto death, and I told you that I loved you, and you said to me, wherein have you loved me? I would say, you don't know how when I've loved you? Well then, forget what I was going to say to you, and I would leave you. But God again and again comes to them, and I have one good thing to say about the children of Israel. You may read 15 times that ye say, God knows what they say, ye say. All the things that they say are wrong. The reaction is wrong, except one. It says, in a coming day, you shall say, the Lord be magnified beyond the borders of Israel. Which brings us to this. During their day, there was no restoration. There was no readiness when the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the scene. For 400 years, similar conditions go on. The Maccabees arise, but similar conditions go on. And finally, John the Baptist comes on the scene. And that is prophesied in chapter 3. But here, finally, it tells us about that future coming day. Three times the Gentiles are mentioned in chapter 1. He said, my name is great among the Gentiles. My name shall be praised by the Gentiles. That never happened in these days, these 400 years. And it did not happen even when Christ came until the last of his ministry. And this is what he said. He spoke that parable about the vineyard. And God had sent for the fruits of that vineyard time and time again. And finally, having refused all the servants that were sent, he sent his son, and they crucified his son. And the Lord Jesus said, and what is God going to do now? They said, he will miserably destroy those miserable sinners and will let out the kingdom of God to others who will bring forth fruit in its season. And the Lord Jesus said, you are right. The kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and shall be given to another nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And so from the Jews, mainly to the Gentiles, this kingdom has gone forth. But in a coming day, thank God, not only the nation of Israel, but the Gentiles are going to be praising the name of God. And this is what God tells them. And God tells them that he loves them. And when they say, wherein hast thou loved us? Instead of telling them positively how he loves them, he tells them negatively. He says, how have I loved you? He says, look at what I've done to Esau. He said, there was Jacob and there was Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And he tells about all the physical things that he's done to the descendants of Esau. And he says, now all of these things have I done to Esau and his descendants. That is how I have loved you. This is what he wants them to understand. He tells them negatively how he loves them, and he tells them positively how he has loved them. And I looked up every reference to how God loves them, and there are no less than 15 references when God says directly that he loves Israel. And if he wanted to tell them, how is it that you say that you love us? Wherein hast thou loved us? God could say, how in have I loved you? You were slaves. Your whole nation was slaves in Egypt, and I delivered them. And also, I gave them the adoption. They were my precious possession. He said, I gave them manna from heaven 40 years in the wilderness. When Pharaoh came to destroy you, I destroyed Pharaoh and his armies. He said, I performed miracle after miracle in the wilderness. I cared for you 40 years. God says, and many a time when I was angry, I withheld my anger and I did not let my wrath wax hot. He said, these are some of the ways that I have loved you. But he does not mention those things. And they did not remember all of the ways that God had loved them. And therefore, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And here we are today, and I wonder if we are any better than those in Malachi's day. We are a kingdom of priests, and let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful that in spite of what we are, you can say, I have loved you. We are thankful, our God, that we can say, indeed, thou hast loved us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Our Father, indeed, you have loved us. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you, Lord Jesus, have laid down your life for your enemies. We were enemies in our minds and in our evil works. Lord, if you have said to Israel, I have loved you, you have said to your church, I have loved you. Forgive us, Father, if the question ever arises in our minds, wherein hast thou loved us? But let us bless the Lord with all our soul, and let us forget not all his benefits. Let us, our Father, be priests who worship you in spirit and in truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.